Let's pray. Father God, we ask right now, Lord, that you would meet us in your word. Father, you've been in our midst in worship, and God, I pray that you have received that as a genuine, true, and right act of worship before you, God. But now we're going to study your word, Lord, and I pray that we'd be worshipful in the way that we lean into your word, God, that we'd be attentive in the way in which we give, that our body and our hearts and our minds are postured before you. But most of all, God, I pray that we'd be receptive of whatever it is that you might say this day, that it might impact the reality of our days ahead. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, Acts chapter 2, verses 41 to 47. That's what we're looking at. Maybe a familiar passage to some of you, maybe new to some others, but amen if you've gotten there.
Amen.
All right, give you another second or two. All right, here's what the word says. Those who accepted his message, his being Peter, those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. And every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and they ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Peter's preaching ministry is just beginning here in this text. As you look just a little bit before it, you see the coming of the Holy Spirit and Peter beginning his preaching ministry. It's launched from the blessing, from the Holy Spirit's arrival, launches Peter into his preaching ministry. And his message is profoundly simple. Be saved. Be saved from the corruption of this generation. That's literally what Peter is saying, to repent, to turn, to find salvation from the corruption, the ways in which this generation that Peter was talking about was turning away from God, the ways in which they were posturing themselves away from the work of the Father. And so the response of the masses was confirmation that the Holy Spirit was at work. Let me say it again. The response, it says here that 3,000 were added that day, and then God continued to add to their number daily. That response was the confirmation that indeed God was doing something, that God was at work. And people often talk about this moment as if it were a standalone kind of thing, as if it were a one and done, as if God doesn't move in this way anymore. They talk about it because they say, well, the Holy Spirit fell, and then the people were charged, they were filled with the Spirit, and so God did something that God actually did something that I want to say to you and suggest to you that God is in the business of still doing today. I believe that God still desires to see revival. That God still desires to see revival. Not only does he desire to see it, that God is the one who puts it into motion. That God himself is the one who is at work. That revival is not something that is created by the church. It's not something that happens because you put a sign out front that said revival was going to take place. Revival is not something that happens because the bulletin, by the way, you'll note it in the bulletin, that's the title for today. It's not something that happens because you titled a message revival. Revival is something that happens because the Spirit of God moves and the people of God respond. And when the people of God respond to what the Spirit of God is doing, God adds to the number. Let me tell you, I'm going to tell you three testimonies of what I would say are modern day revivals. What I would say is the movement of the Spirit of God that is able to be witnessed and seen. What I would say is the birth of a church in which people are moving toward the work of the Father. In 2004, there was a young man who was in seminary out in Colorado. A faithful guy, his name is Mark. He had been faithful to studying. He was, kind of a well-studied guy, but knew God was prepping him to do something and didn't know what it was. One day, an elderly gentleman came and met him in the dining commons of his seminary. The older gentleman said, "Mark, we're looking for somebody who would bury our church. Would you come and do that for us?" He said, "It's not going to die today, it's not going to die tomorrow, but it's going to die within the next 18 months. Would you come and put them to rest? We were once a church of 150 or 200 people, but now we're down to 20 or 30, and the reality is we're out of energy. We don't even have the energy to think about doing something new. Would you come and just help us to die or rest into peace?" Mark thought about it. He met with his mentors and his professors, and he threw around the idea with them, and they said to him, they said, "Mark, I don't believe that church is meant to die. I believe that church is meant to live." So you might say yes, but you need to understand what you're saying yes to. You're saying yes to something that they don't yet see, but something that we see through the text. You're saying yes to revival. Mark thought about it long and hard, went home and talked to his wife, asked her young kids about it. "Would you be willing to go with us to a church that has no kids? Would you go with us to a church where everybody is older than grandma and grandpa? Would you go with us to a church that was living in a day that is long gone? Would you go to us a church that thinks they're ready to die, but I believe is ready to live?" He asked his family, and with a resounding yes, the wife and children all said, "Let's go." Mark began the hardest work of his pastoral career. He called it church replanting. He began this idea of birthing new life into something that once was, but no longer is. That was in 2004. Over the course of the next 6 years, the church grew. It didn't explode. It didn't blow up. It didn't implode. It just steadily grew. When it finally got to be a church of about 250, they realized that they no longer were a church that was on the decline. They no longer was a church that was talking about closing. Now they were a church that was talking about how do we breathe life again. Since then, in the last 7 years, every 18 months, they've launched a new church. Denver, Colorado, spread across that entire region. Pastor Mark contributes regularly online and in writing about the replanting of churches. And the concept is simple. Spirit of God, help us to repent, to lean into you, to hold loosely what we once were, and to grip firmly into what you're asking us to be. That's revival. That's new life. That's growth. 20 years ago, right here in the city of Philadelphia, there was a very small African-American church over in the Germantown section. Anybody know where that's at, Germantown? Germantown, if not, Google that. All you yellows better put your hands up. All right. It was a very small church over in the Germantown section. Their pastor had moved on, and they were in need of a new pastor. So they called this young guy. He didn't even have his master's yet. He was that young and wet behind the ears. He had limited experience at best. And they said, "We'd like for you to come and preach. Preach with that conviction you have, you know, that inspiration that you have. Bring some of that excitement to our church." After about 2 years, Pastor Waller preached a sermon that was pivotal. He says it's the sermon that changed his congregation. At the end of his message, he said he received resignation letters from all of his elders, his deacons, and his staff. Every one of them. Because he preached a sermon that said something to the effect of, "It's time for us to examine our hearts and really question whether we're postured toward the Father. It's time for us to examine our hearts and say, are we more committed to what we've been doing or to the reason that we've been doing it?" And one by one, his leadership came in and with a repentant heart offered a resignation. Pastor Waller only accepted maybe 3 or 4 of those resignations. The rest of the people he redeployed into ministry. From there, this small church at that point, which was about 150 folks meeting together in a very small, older church in the Germantown section, grew to be a church of 15,000 members here in our city. They built a mega church over in the furthest northwest point over by Winco, just outside of the city limits. And there, till this day, Pastor Waller faithfully preaches. I believe that's revival. I believe that's God breathing life into something that looked like it was on its way out. I believe that is God doing something that only God can do. Let me give you one last one. A little more than 8 years ago, there was a youth pastor from the suburbs of Philadelphia. Felt called by God to go and start something that he had no idea how to start. So he walked up to the front desk of a local movie theater and said, "How much would it cost to rent a space here?" And they said, "Well, you could do it on Sunday mornings because we're not open during that time." He said, "Perfect." He opened the doors on one Sunday morning. After sending out invitations, he had about 100 people show up, people who were interested in finding out what in the world can happen in a movie theater. After that service, about 3 weeks later, he invited those same 100 people to become the leadership of a new church. Together, they were not skilled, they were not trained, but they were committed. Together, this leadership team sat and dreamt. They asked a lot of questions. They put their face before the Lord. They studied the scripture. They sat under his teaching. And today, that church has 4 campuses stretched across the northwest section of our city. Today, that is the church that's defining the Christian culture here in the northwest section of Philadelphia. Let me say this. Revival still happens, y'all. Revival still happens. God did not say that one some point in time happened. He removed himself from us. Revival still happens. He is still at work. The Spirit of God is still communicating regularly. Let me say it again. Revival still happens. I'm going to ask you now, do you believe that?
Yes.
Do you Not. You heard 3 testimonies. You're like, all right, well, he's not gonna lie about those testimonies, so fine, it happened there. But I'm asking you, do you believe that revival still happens? Because see, when we say yes, that we believe that revival still happens, we're saying, hey, I understand. When John the Baptist was out there, he was saying, I am preparing the way for one who's going to be greater than me. And he was yelling to people, repent. Why would I repent? Repent because the kingdom of God is about to show up. Repent because the kingdom of God is near. Repent because Jesus is on the way. Turn back to the one who can change everything. Do you believe revival still happens? I believe in the text there are 4 things that we can see that help us to understand how revival comes about. Clearly, happens through the work of the Spirit. But there are 4 things that we can see in terms of our posture, in terms of our readiness. And I'm going to ask you to look at that scripture with me one more time. The first thing I want to identify this morning is that God called and appointed Peter, and the people followed him. God called, he appointed Peter, and the people followed. Look at the very first thing we see in the text. Those who accepted his message, his being Peter, those who accepted his message. And then verse 42, it says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. That God had called him, and for some reason, the people of God said, I'm willing to follow. I'm willing to go. I know this is about a bit self-seeking, but I do want to say this. I believe that God calls pastors. I recognize For all of you who are deeply entrenched into Presbyterian theology, I recognize that we're all about election from within the body. I recognize that the congregation has a voice. But let me say this without any misleading. I believe that God works through you to call and to appoint pastors. It is not us that does it. It is the work of the Father. And therefore, if God is going to call, if God is going to appoint, and might I add, if God is going to be the one who equips, then might we be the ones who follow. If God is going to call, if God is going to appoint, look, we'll trust the process. That's good Philadelphia right there, right? Y'all get that? Anybody? Anybody follow that? Like four of us. All right, the rest of y'all? Look, I know it's off topic, but did y'all notice? Philadelphia's been talked about for a little while right now because they had the number one fastest selling tickets when they opened the ticket sales for season ticket holders for the 76ers this year, this coming year. Trust the process, all right? Back to the message. Back to the message. We're gonna trust the process. I'm gonna believe in the process that God is gonna use the people to elect, that God is gonna use the people to appoint. But I believe this. I believe that God's not gonna let the one get elected or get appointed that God doesn't want to be there. Oh, y'all ain't here. Come on now, come on. God is not going to allow somebody to be elected and appointed if he does not have it in his will and in his plan for them to be there. So I believe that God, in the same way that Peter was blessed by him, I believe that God appoints and calls. And therefore, it is the church's responsibility to say, how can we follow? How can we follow? It's not by accident. It's not by mistake. You look at me. You look at pastors before me. You look at pastors who will come after me. You look at any of the examples I just gave. The reality is it's not by accident. It's not by mistake. It is by the appointment of the Father. For whatever designated time that he has called it to be, it is by the appointment of the Father. And every one of us there then can say, God, how can I faithfully walk in this direction? We see here in the text that they were attentive to the teaching, that they were leaning in. Matter of fact, you can go through the rest of the book of Acts. You can see that Peter was preaching and people were so interested in what he was preaching on that they stayed for hours and hours, and those who weren't interested fell out the window and died. Y'all might want to check that out. That's a fun story in the book of Acts, right? Right. But the body was gathered together. They said, we want to learn. We want to know. We want to absorb. We want to take in. And we want to be charged up that we might be able to go out. Look, revival happens not because of any individual, but corporately, because the body comes together and they're receptive to what the Father wants to do. Peter did not meet 3,000 people in a day. He didn't have, there was no FaceTime, there was no social media. The only way you would get invited was by personal invitation. He didn't meet 3,000 people. He didn't have time. So it couldn't be based on Peter. It had to be something about the body being drawn together, the message being so strong that the people of God were willing to say, I'll risk everything to tell somebody. And that was so attractive that it drew people in. It drew people in. Because I want to be a part of that. And they heard it. I was recently sitting in a meeting with a group of pastors, and we were exchanging our war stories. You know, you do this at your job. We do it at our jobs, too. We're exchanging our war stories, you know, like that one time I got up to preach, and I had my iPad. Y'all might be wondering why I haven't used it lately. I got up to preach, and I had my iPad, and I hit the button, and it was dead. And I was like, oh. The one time I didn't print out the back, you know, the paper copy, right? And I was like, right? So we were all sharing our war stories, and at the end of our time of consoling each other and trying to make each other feel like we could outdo each other with a war story, one of the pastors spoke up and said, could you pray for me? He said, specifically, I'm struggling. I feel like there's a growing sense of naysayers. We all looked at him like, naysayers for you? Like, I could see it for somebody else, but you, like, I like you. Like, you know, like, I'd be willing for you to be my pastor. Like, no way. And he jokingly said that this group only attended church for the purpose of having something to complain about through the week. And we all giggled, and yet deep within, our hearts just broke. We recognize that day, and I recognize today that revival happens through the faithful remnant, through those who say, I am still committed. No matter what's going on around me, I am still committed. Yes, everything's not perfect, but I am still committed. I am still faithful. I am still showing up. You know, we look at the Old Testament, we see the remnant. They were willing to go through the wilderness. We see the remnant. They were willing to go into captivity. We see the remnant. They were willing to sit under someone else's leadership. We see the remnant. They never gave up on the hope that God was going to call them to be his people. We see the remnant in the church today, and maybe I ask you this question, are you a part of the remnant? We see the remnant in the church today that says, I am committed to being a student of the word of God. I am committed to be a follower of the way of God. I am committed to be a part of the local body, and most of all, I am committed to do what the Lord asked of me today. Are you part of that remnant? Are you part of that remnant? I ask you that because I believe that it's through the remnant that the Lord brings revival. The second thing I want to identify this morning is this. I love how Scott was talking to this morning in his prayer and in his transition to songs about the unity, right? That's what we see in this text. It says they were there together. Now listen to me, church, real quick. Revival doesn't happen when you sit alone. Let me say it again. Revival doesn't happen when you sit alone. You've got to be willing to be a part of the body. You've got to be willing to be in the midst. You've got to be willing to be in the fold. Revival doesn't happen when everybody looks like you and talks like you and sounds like you and agrees with you. It doesn't happen when they do that with me either. We got to be willing to live in the friction. We got to be willing to live in the hard times. Matter of fact, we see it in Scripture, right? The revival happened, but later on we see that there was some friction. There was some friction. How do we do this whole church thing? How do we get this right? Maybe we do this and maybe we do that. No. Friction is tough, but they stuck with it. Evidenced by you and I sitting here today. Revival happens when the body comes together. They don't hang on their own. They were in it together. Today's church culture uses this language. I just learned this week. I didn't understand. I met a lot of people who were saying this phrase. They were saying, I'm building with this person. I'm building with this person. And I was like, what does that mean? And what are you building? I'm building there. And, my guy Matt over here with the big hair and the big beard, he would use the phrase, I'm building. I'm building in that relationship. What does that mean? So I was sitting with somebody else. I said, I've been hearing this phrase, building. Building. Whenever I hear the phrase building, I'm just picturing like, you know, hammers and nails and structure. What does it mean that you're building with somebody? And eventually I got to the concept here, right? It's this idea that you're making this investment, this incarnational, right? When I was in college and in seminary, that was the key phrase, incarnational. I mean, I'm moving into the neighborhood. I'm going to be a part of the DNA of the culture. I'm going to be a part of what's going on there. I'm going to be in the midst. I'm building with somebody. I'm investing. I'm in this together. You know, in order for the church to really, really grow in unity, they got to go in it together. Right? If you look to your right and look to your left and you see some folks that look like you and then you see some folks that don't look like you, you know, that you might be like, man, woo! You know, you look down and see if they have a ring. If they don't, slide closer. They do, slide away, you know. But look, you know, you look around. You're like, hey, you know, unity, you know. Like, I'm trying to figure this thing out, right? But check this out. The remnant, those who remain faithful to the word of God, they are a part. They are invited in as they invest, as they build together. When you invest and you build together, you cannot surround yourself solely with folks who look like you and sound like you and smile and laugh at the same things you smile and laugh about. You know why? Because the kingdom of God is much bigger than that. Right? The kingdom of God is much bigger than that. Amen? Come on now. You have to believe this. This cannot be foreign to you. You have to believe this. The kingdom of God is bigger. Amen. All right. Okay. All right. Here in the northeast part of our country, we're a part of a rat race. We run a fast, fast pace. Matter of fact, if you meet anybody from anywhere else in the country, that's what they're going to tell you about the northeast. They're going to say, man, that section of our country, man, it's just fast pace. You go anywhere else and everything slows down. Right? And even here today, you probably, I mean, even here, like we probably have said to each other, man, I just wish I could get a little bit of a break. I could, whew. You know, everybody talks about going on vacation. What'd you do? Nothing. Just chill. The rest of the world goes on vacation. They want to do things. We're like, slow down, right? Well, it's true. It's true. We run a fast pace. We run a crazy race. You know, like we're running crazy hard. And for most of us, we're really intense about it. I know you're busy. And so the concept of adding one more thing in, like this idea of getting together with other believers, seems like so tough. It's the business of the Father, though. So busyness is not the conversation. It's the business, let me say that again, Rick, you with me? It's the business of the Father. So busyness is not the conversation. How do you invest with other believers? Before you answer the question, I mean other believers who don't look like you, sound like you, and agree with you all the time. How do you invest with other believers? How do you find yourself? Who do you invite to your table? You know, we got a conversation that we have within our leadership. We say there's a room that everybody's invited in, and there's a table where a select few are invited to. Who do you invite to your table? We're all in a room, but look around for a minute. Who have you invited to your table? Who have you invited to your table? I ask you that today because I believe revival happens when the people of God pour their hearts together. When we get down and we get praying and we say, Lord, your will be done. And we understand that his will looks different than this. We understand that his will sounds different than this. We understand that in order for his will to really come about, for revival to really happen, the church has to begin to sit together, to eat together, to pray together, to worship together, and to do the mundane things of the daily together. And as we do that, it says they met together every day. Do you see that? Do you see that in the text? So they met together daily. I don't know what that looks like, but I know this. It involves some things that just seem out of our norm. It involves saying to somebody who might not be our best friend right now, would you be a part of this with me? Third thing I want to say this morning is church attendance matters. It matters. Listen, y'all, listen, let me just say this real quick. This is not a shot at anyone, because all of you are here, right? So it's not a shot at you. You're here. But I want to help us understand what it means about us being here. Church attendance matters. You see the revival that happened there in Acts chapter 2, it happened because the people of God were showing up. We're showing up. Can you imagine what the revival would have been? Like, Peter preached a message. Nobody responded. Nobody met together. But somehow, some way, somewhere, distant place off, somehow, people one by one. The movement happened because Peter preached a message. The people of God responded. They showed up. And when they showed up, God said, watch what I can do. And I don't know how he did it. I don't know what he did. I don't know if he pointed at people and said, you, and you. If he sprinkled something over everybody, I don't know if the waters of the baptism fell on him. I don't know how it happened, but what happened is that the people of God were swelled with new life, with this breath of God that enabled them to continue on. Why do you come to church? Can I be honest with you for a second? Most of you have said to me on one occasion or another, Pastor Ray, I know you're not angry, but sometimes when you preach, it looks like it. Right? 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 You're like, yo, that's good news, but it sounded really harsh. So you're not coming because of how good I make you feel, or at least the perception of that. Why do you come? Why do you show up? I don't want you to stop showing up, please. I want you to be here. But I want every one of us to be able to say one day, I come, I show up because I believe that God is doing something fantastic, that I believe that God has something even greater in store, that I want to be a student of the Word of God. I want to be a brother and a sister, or I can't be both, but I want to be a brother to my brothers and sisters in faith, and I want to be an encourager. I want to be someone who is breathing words of life, not speaking words of death. I want to be someone who is reviving something that would look like it was fading away. I want to be a part of the remnant, and someday I want to witness the revival. Why do you come? Please keep coming, regardless of why you come. But someday, my prayer is that those would be your words. Those would be your words. The last thing is where I really want to drive us home this morning. I was just last night, I had the privilege of picking up one of our folks who flew in from the other side of the world, otherwise known as Ohio. And by the grace of God, their plane made it, even though it was like 3 hours delayed. But around 1 o'clock in the morning, I'm sitting in the airport being like, come on, it'll be a good time for you to get here now so I can go home and go to bed. But I was like, Lord, you're going to do something here, right? And so I'm waiting for her to show up, and finally she gets there, and I'm like, Anna, come on, let's get in, let's drive, let's go get home, I'm tired, you know? And she wanted to talk all the way home, and I was like, well, that's cool because it's going to keep me awake. And so Anna started talking to me and started telling me her story. And I'm going to share some of your story without license, but I know your family really well, so I'm sorry. But I want to share one thing. Anna said this phrase to me, and I was like, wow, that's so applicable to my message tomorrow. She didn't know it. But she said, she was talking about some health stuff going on in her life, and I won't put that on blast. You can talk to her personally about it. But she said, everything started with my heart. Everything started with my heart. And I want to say this to us. Every one of us, given the choice, would say, yeah, I want to see revival. I want to see God show up and do something crazy. Crazy good. But what if everything starts with your heart? What if revival happening, in part, is dependent on your heart's posture right now? It's dependent on your willingness to lean forward as opposed to leaning back. It's dependent on your willingness to put your hands out as opposed to putting your arms across. What if revival, I get it, it is fully dependent on the will and the work of the Father. But what if he's asking us to be a cracked jar, to be receptive to his fixing, his molding, his reshaping, and then his filling up? Church, how's your heart postured? Are you willing to lean into what God wants to do? Are you willing to go where he's asking? If he's asking you to jump into a small group and you're like, but those people, they're scary. I know. What if he's asking you to be an encourager? You know, maybe you have the gift of writing. What if he's asking you to start saying things that are encouraging, putting them under people's doors? What if he's asking you to do something crazy, like, you know, he blesses you in some kind of way, and he's like, I just want you to turn that blessing over so that the church can do something fantastic. God, really? What? What's your heart's posture? What is your heart's posture? Are you prayerfully praying for the leadership of our church? Are you holding myself and Matt and Scott and Ricky, our elders and our deacons, are you holding them before you on a regular, saying, God, please hedge these people. Please build these people up. Please renew their faith and their hope. On Saturday nights when you're winding down, are you praying for the preached word that's going to come tomorrow? Are you asking God to show up with a revival coming? Are you asking God to renew a hope? Are you praying that the seats are going to be full? I got a dream. I got an idea. I got a hope that one day you're going to have to stand up because there ain't going to be enough room on your seats. I got a hope. I got a vision. I got a dream that someday your seat's going to be taken up by somebody you don't know. We're going to say, people, if you've been here more than twice, sit up top. Because we want the front for people who ain't been here yet. I got a dream, I got a hope, I got a vision that someday we're going to have church in the morning and we're going to celebrate at night. I got a dream, I got a hope, I got a vision that someday the people of God are going to pull their resources together and they're going to bless people that they may never see, that they might never know, but they're going to trust that the gospel's going to go to the ends of the earth. I got a dream, I got a hope, I got a vision that someday we ain't going to be a white church, we ain't going to be a black church, we ain't going to be a mixed church, we're just going to be the church. We're going to be a part of what God is doing and we're going to have the people of God filling this place. I got a dream, I got a hope, I got a vision that someday you and I will be praying and saying, God, bring about your revival, that the city of Philadelphia might be overcome with the will and the way of the Father. And I got a hope, I got a dream, and I got a vision that today you're going to start praying in that direction with me. We're going to wrap up. And what I'd like to do right now in wrapping up is I'd like to invite Vern to come down and come up here and be up here to pray. And we're gonna have some stations across the front for prayer. I want to invite you to respond in prayer this morning. We're gonna move into our time of song that'll happen right here at the end. But I want to invite you to respond in prayer. If there's something that's been holding you back, if there's something that you got stuck in, if you know you heard the message this morning, you're like, Pastor Ray, you just talked about four things. Look, I said, you know, are you able to sit under the leadership that exists? Are you able to follow those who God has called to lead? Are you able to invite others into your life into intimate ways? You know, that idea of building. Are you able to build with others? Are you willing to keep showing up to be a part of the church as it is today? Are you willing to keep showing up to invest? Are you willing to say to God, God, renew my heart, my heart's posture before you? Maybe one of those four areas you recognize that you're stuck, that there's something pushing back, holding you back from really saying, yes, I can get in that. Maybe it's something completely different, and that's totally cool too. But we want to be a church that prays for you. And so if during this next song or two you feel like, hey, like, I just need somebody praying for me, we're going to be here. We're going to pray with you. We'd love to pray for you, right? We believe that God responds to the prayers of the people. And so we're going to pray. And we're going to surrender with you to the things that you might be saying, and we're going to trust God to do something great. I got a dream, I got a hope, I got a vision that revival's coming. And I'm praying that you're going to be a part of that with us. If you'd like to receive prayer at any time during this song, you can come up front and just let us pray for you. If you want to just sit there and pray where you're at, that's totally cool. And as the band comes up, if you want to just continue to worship in song, we totally invite you to do that as well. I'm going to lead us into a prayer now. Father God, I thank you for this morning. I thank you, God, for the hope of revival. I thank you, God, for the hope of being renewed. I thank you, Father, for the desire, the yearning, the longing to see the church had just filled, God. And the scriptures say you added to their number daily, God. I desire to see that, not God, so that we can boast about our building being full, but so that we can boast about people who were once lost are now found, that death is not winning, that life has won, that the love of God has won out. And God, if there's anything that's hindering us from being able to say yes, from being able to say, I'm ready to step into what you have ahead of me, God. And I pray this morning you would allow us to surrender that in prayer, to be renewed, to be filled, to be charged, to be effective going from this place. That the kingdom of God might draw near. That the ministry and the work of the Father might win out. Salvation might come. Jesus, have your way. And that's our prayer.